This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, growth and hope. I'm Anna, and we're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in.
Kia ora and welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Anytime Fitness in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on Facebook or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Omri.
And I am well. I am filling in for Anna today, who's taking a very well-deserved holiday at Surfers Paradise.
Well-deserves being questioned. No, Anna's smashing it.
Absolutely.
Loving to have Will on the podcast as well.
And it's a pleasure.
We'll be your host for this conversation of hope, healing, and lived experience. Today, as a personal fanboy for me, we're talking to someone who has worked incredibly hard crafting an audience and uses their platform to create a real positive community. Welcome Austin Clocus. Please tell us about yourself and the mahi, the work that you do.
Yeah, already it's disarming to hear the Austin Clocus, because for so long it's just been Clocus.
Yeah.
Is what I've gone by. So hearing the full name all out there, I'm like, whoa, this is legit. It's a little disarming. But thanks so much for having me on. Yeah, I'm a content creator. I specialize in sports content, sports gaming content. Like you mentioned, storytelling is a big part of what I do. But yeah, really love what I do, getting to craft these stories. And if you've checked out my stuff, you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure we'll dive in more as we go on. But yeah, just excited to be here today.
Awesome. As our listeners probably have picked up from listening to you, but this is our first time going international with the podcast. Where in the States are you based?
Yeah, so I'm kind of all around the place. Mm. I was in Florida for my whole life, so the last 22 years. I'm currently living in Maine, so this is my first winter.
What?
I just saw snow for the first time, just experiencing degrees below 70, so kind of warming up, or actually, I guess the opposite, freezing to the cold weather here. But so based in Maine, but you know, I'm always on the move.
Yeah. Where in Maine are you?
I am in a very little town called Fort Kent.
Yeah.
So it's right on the Canadian border. So I'm kind of Canadian is what I like to joke about, is because I take regular trips to Canada myself. It's like a 5-minute drive across the border. But yeah, very small town, very cozy here, getting all those Christmas vibes in December. So
yeah,
loving it.
That's awesome, because I mean, our Christmas will be similar to your Christmases in Florida. Of, you know, this is our summer, we're heating up. Apart from today in Dunedin, we've got a thunderstorm. But apart from that, yeah, we're really heading up and getting into our summer Christmas.
Okay, that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah, but Maine has been probably the harshest cold I've ever felt. I spent a weekend in Portland, Maine last Christmas, and it was chilling to the bone. My partner's from Connecticut.
Oh wow, okay, yeah, it's about that. Yeah, chilling to the bone is how I would describe it. We're like, I think below 5 right now outside my window, so I am, or 5 below is a better way to put it, but it's very cold.
Yikes. Ooh. It's love the differences of Northern Southern Hemisphere. So on our podcast, we have a guest leave a question for the next guest. And so last time we had Paul from Aroha Kaikai Valley. Aroha means love, and they do nature, trapping pests, water restoration, air quality control as well, and testing all those sorts of things. But the question that Paul left for you was, if you could travel anywhere in time, forward or back, where would you go?
I gotta ask, am I allowed to change things? I know that's not in the question,
100%,
but am I traveling?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I can?
Yeah.
You know, this is a cop out. I feel like everyone's gonna say this, but I gotta stand by the traditional answer. I gotta go forward because I don't wanna change anything about my past.
Yeah.
I think everything happened for a reason. I would wanna go forward though, just to see how everything turns out, and maybe not make changes in the future, but make changes now to change what I saw.
Use
the word change a lot there, but that would be my answer.
Would it be specifically forward in your own timeline?
You know, maybe it's a little bit egotistical to say yes, but it would be, you know. I don't necessarily care too much about, you know, Joe's timeline or Beth's or whoever. I kind of want to see what my future holds, and again, be able to adjust in the now and potentially change or just keep things how they are.
Yeah, like a reverse or kind of a Back to the Future 2 with Marty McFly.
Yeah, exactly. Great movie.
Do you have an answer, Will?
You know, if I could go back, I would stop drinking so many energy drinks before I got kidney stones. Yeah. That's definitely one thing I would change about my past. Yourself, Omri?
I think I've answered this question before, and I said Jimmy Carter's motorcade. Just because he has walked the longest on his motorcade. And I find that really interesting because, again, it was a super cold day. It's like, why would you do it, man? But I think, too, different answer, different time, talking to a fellow sports fan. I'm a huge Bucks fan. Wisconsin, go Packs, go. So I'd either go back to, even though I was alive for it, the most recent win of 2021 or 22, or I'd go back to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Oscar Robinson winning that first title for the Bucks.
That's awesome. I worked for the Bucks last year. I worked for them for their season, so it was a blast. They have got a great culture there in Tampa Bay.
That is so. That's so cool. Amazing. All right. Well, I guess we get started and learning more, and you know, getting our listeners to learn more about you. But how did you get involved into content creation and starting the Clocus Dynasty?
Yeah, you know, I have always loved creating content. Mm. I'll run into people now, my friends, and they'll be like, oh my goodness, you blew up overnight. And I'm kind of like, no, I've been making content since I was 15, you know, just kind of throwing out different things, you know, podcasts, YouTube videos, TikToks, and the Clocus Dynasty is what eventually hit and what I'm known for now. Mm. How I got into that specifically, you know, I loved Madden. I played Madden, the video game, if you're not familiar. I played that in college. I was on the Madden team, and I was very good. I'm not, you know, I was one of the top 10 collegiate players in the country for a little while.
No way.
And yeah, and it was a fun time to compete at the college level. I graduated, and that love of content kind of just merged into the love of Madden. I started streaming Madden, grew a pretty small audience, about 20,000 followers on TikTok after a couple months of streaming. And one night, I had never gotten CFB. I didn't get the college game when it came out, and I had gotten a free copy just attending some event. I was like, you know, I'll play it. You know, I'll just make a character of myself. Like, this would be fun. Why not? I start playing the game. I'm like, you know, I should document this. Why not? This could be a cool thing to record just for fun. So I record and end up posting the video. I wake up, it's got like 2,000 views, and I'm like, oh, I guess people like this. So then I made another part, it got 11,000 views, and I was like, oh wow, people really like this, I should put out the next part, and it gets 3 million views. So it was just, you know, in that instance, yes, it was kind of just overnight this took off, and eventually I make more and more episodes, I do spinoffs, I branch out to other football content, and about a year later, here we are now.
That's amazing, eh?
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And for those who, I guess, who don't know as well, you know, again, I've been following your work for a bit now. For those who don't know, like, the Clocus Dynasty, what is that?
Yeah, you know, it's a football family of different characters who they all have their own unique story. They all have, for the most part, their own unique position they play. And it's about each of their roads to becoming the best football player of their position of all time. You know, it's unique to me because every single person is named after one of my real family members. So, you know, I do have a brother named Jonathan. You know, have a brother named Sawyer and all that stuff. So every character is unique. Except for Jonah. That's another story. I know we'll get into that when we start talking about foster love. But yeah, so that's the family, is every single character has their own journey through this football simulation.
That's so cool. And they're having the added fact of, I didn't know that it was members of your family. That's such a cool...
Yeah, every single one.
Yeah, that's great. Awesome.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue. You mentioned Foster Love, and your most recent series was raising money for Foster Love. Could you tell us a bit about what Foster Love is and what drew you to their co-papa or their values?
Yeah, Foster Love is a nonprofit based in the United States where they provide support for foster kids and foster families. Basically, what drew me to that nonprofit was because foster care is a big part of my life. I was not a foster kid, but most of my siblings were foster kids that we went on to adopt. Wow. So I have a lot of adopted siblings. Wow. That's why I have so many to build this Clocus Dynasty, is I've got a lot of source material. And so I saw firsthand growing up, you know, the kids showing up in a van late at night with just a trash bag, a couple of their belongings, and that was all they had. And getting to see the need up close and in person was really impactful to me as a kid. And even now, that need has only grown in the United States. So many kids are displaced. And my goal was, if I can do something positive with this platform for a nonprofit that means a lot to me, that's how I discovered Foster Love. And yeah, we raised about $11,000, I think, just over that number. Incredible. I'm really grateful for my community and what they've been able to do.
And that's 11,000 USD, which is, I think just under 20,000. NZ, which is unreal work. Yeah. And on Foster Love, and as you mentioned, Jonah Clocus, how did you start that? What was the kind of series you had for Jonah with Foster Love?
Yeah, for sure. You know, the inspiration there was, I was just looking at these views and I'm like, wow, every episode I'm getting like 200 to 3,000 views. Mm. I'm just like, this is really cool, but there's got to be something I can do with this audience. Like, I'm glad that they are watching the videos and I'm glad they like them, but we got to use this for something positive, more than just, you know, views, more than just numbers. How can we put this towards something beneficial? So what inspired me was, there's so many people in the comment sections that are so invested in these characters. If I go to a school they don't like, they get upset. Yes. If I go, you know, change my jersey number, they get upset.
The helmet.
The helmet. If I have a different helmet than the bucket helmet, which I still love to this day,
same,
they get upset. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, let's let them control the story. Mm. Except if they're going to do that, they're going to do it for a good cause. And, you know, that's how I developed. Every single dollar we raise will go towards upgrading and changing the character in real time. And it did really great. And like I said, every name is a member of the family except for Jonah. I chose Jonah because Jonah means peace. Jonah represents a dove. And that's the whole goal, is we want to provide peace for these kids. They're in a time of so much turmoil, so much strife in their life at such a young age, that if we can just be a momentary source of peace and providing them some comfort through Foster Love, that's what we want to do. So that's how Jonah got his name. And yeah, we did such a great job. Again, just so proud of this community. Mm.
And really hearing the community you've created, and, you know, you being really the center of the community, but also your humbleness to go, you know, that we've created. I'm wondering how it feels to go, you know, for me it's going, you have created this and I love being a part of it. Really feeling the community and the whānau or the family that you feel like you're bringing together.
Yeah, you know, with this community, like you said, it's not so much as humility as much as there's a reason why every episode, if you're familiar with the content, every episode starts with R99 overall and then whatever position it is, because it's not mine. This is something that we're doing together. It's almost like we're on a road trip, you know, and I might be the one driving, but I'm not calling all the shots. A road trip is only as much fun as the people you're going with, and everybody else is in the car too, getting a say. So that's sort of, and that's not just with Jonah, that's with every series, is making an emphasis, not just because it's my branding at this point to start it like that, but just to once again reiterate the fact that this is our thing. This isn't my thing.
Yeah. I'm amazed with your mindset and how you've done this. And I'm wondering, at what point did you realize, or did you come to the conclusion of, this is a community. These aren't just followers who are engaging in content, but this is something that we can bring together.
Yeah, you know, I think it was as early as when I started streaming, because streaming was a great way for me to interact with people throughout the chat, just building those relationships. And when you're playing a game and you have people, you have a live feed, it kind of helps you get that mindset that like, these aren't just numbers. Like these are people I'm interacting with as I play the game. And then that went the same for my comment section when I posted a video, like, wow, these aren't just, you know, followers. These are actual people enjoying this story too. And also I've always been a people pleaser. So if people aren't having fun with my content, I'm not going to have fun with it. So I really do. And sometimes to a fault, and maybe we can talk about this later on, but I really do want everybody to enjoy it just as much as I am.
Mm. I really resonate with the, yeah, kind of realizing more than numbers. It's, you know, from doing this podcast and we every 3 months we get a numbers update. I'm like, okay, yep. Like that's the number of people listening, but in my mind, just numbers. But more recently we've had people either reach out to us via our social media, or we had the ORFM podcast awards a few weeks ago. We won Best Health and Wellbeing Podcast, smashing it.
Oh, that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's great.
But it really reaffirmed of, oh, these are people listening. These are people that are doing it. And it was quite a, it's okay if 500 people are listening, but Kathy is listening. Oh my gosh. Like, I don't know who Kathy is, but that is a name.
sure. Yeah.
That is a nuts thing to actually think of.
So sports and social media can be filled with hope and also comes with some intense pressures. How have you viewed your own or others' mental health journey in this?
Sure. You know, I want to start out with a pretty key distinction between a social media creator like myself and an athlete. Mm. I think athletes have it way harder because they're in a stadium of thousands of fans, and they drop a pass, they're going to hear it, and they can't go run and hide. If I post a video that doesn't do well and the comments section is pretty angry, it's a screen. I can just turn off the phone and, you know, I get to hide. Mm. So it's definitely not as bad for somebody like myself. And also, I think I've been very blessed. I think that my community is very, very positive overall of me as a creator and the content I put out. I think, especially in the sports industry, there are some brutal fan bases out there. Yes. And I've been very fortunate to, for the most part, be on the kind end of that fan base. But with that being said, you know, I think there are a lot of highs and lows. There is a lot of pressure. You discover that it is very easy to reach virality on social media. It's very hard to sustain relevance. You know, you can have a video get a million views, and then a month later, nobody, like, you don't get any followers from that. You don't get your views dip right back. So that was kind of my thought when that first video got 3 million views. I was like, well, I'm going to enjoy the run. This isn't going to go anywhere. Mm. And it went somewhere, which was super awesome. But then that also added the pressure of, well, now I need to keep this going. And I need to keep these numbers going up. I need to keep the follower count growing. And as soon as it dips, all of a sudden you failed, or you haven't, you know, succeeded. Or, you know, if a video does worse than the one yesterday, it's a bad day. Mm-hmm. If a video does better than the one yesterday, it's a good day. And suddenly you're just chasing a finish line that's never ending.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a lot of pressure. And I think it just means redefining what success is. And success isn't, you know, how many views did I get on a video today, but, you know, what was I able to do with my platform that was positive? What are things in my control? Because at the end of the day, views or comments, I don't control that. Amen. You know, I can still put out the best content that I can. I don't get a final say on what number is going to be at the bottom of the TikTok or Instagram. So yeah, just redefining success and saying that success isn't so much in the view count. It's how I view myself. So I guess you play on words with the word view there.
Yeah.
But how I view myself, how I view the content I put out, and saying, like, at the end of the day, as far as it depends on me, you know, am I doing something positive with this platform? And that's why I love what we did with Foster Love, is that's something that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm really happy with what we did there. It wasn't about how much money we raised. It wasn't about how many views those videos got. It's about the fact that we did something for the betterment of, you know, foster kids in America.
Mm. And I think that goes to a lot of our mahi at the Hope Center at Life Matters as well, where I really like what you said about, you know, what's in our control. We can't comment. You know, we can't control comments or how other people talk to us, but we can control how we view ourselves and how we keep ourselves safe, whether that be with suicide or just our own mental health and mental well-being. And, you know, you talked about that, chasing the never-ending finish line or trying to avoid chasing the never-ending finish line. And I'm curious about how you looked after yourself on those days where it's views were down from the day before, it's a bad day. How did you look after yourself in that?
Yeah, you know, it's not easy to go from a place where you are all of a sudden kind of, I don't want to say irrelevant because nobody's irrelevant,
yeah.
but in a social media light, you don't get the numbers that some big creators do. Again, I had like 20,000 followers. I would get like 1,000 views a video to all of a sudden you're getting hundreds of thousands of views overnight. That's a pretty jarring position to put in anybody.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing was I just had to learn to not be so hard on myself. I was at a point where I was just desperate to keep those numbers up, that I was posting 2 times a day, every single day for like 3 months. And the burnout was real.
Yeah.
I sounded exact. If you can't tell, I'm a little sick. I have a little cold from the snow here and all the weather issues. But I sounded like this every single day. This was my normal. I was raspy. I was, you know, not sleeping well. Mm. And when there was a day where I could only get up one video, I was beating myself up over it. If, God forbid, there was a day where I didn't get up any videos, I was beating myself up over it. So I think just learning to take a step back and be like, listen, social media is not going anywhere. You don't have to be that hard on yourself. And myself is more important than any social media numbers. And my mental health is more important than any fabricated views or, you know, content or follower count. And realizing that has definitely helped me be a little bit easier. I took Thanksgiving break this month. I didn't post for like a week, and yes. I was disciplined about it. I said, I'm leaving my computer at home. I'm going home, you know, for the holiday. And so I think that's the biggest thing. And then again, like I already said, just redefining success. And my worth is not determined by if a video did good or bad. My worth is determined by how I view myself and how the people who know me view myself. Because somebody can leave a bad comment and say, oh, you suck, or, you know, this is trash, or, you know, worse things that I won't say on here, if some comments I've received. But, you know, those people don't know me.
Yeah.
You know, those are just people on the internet. And just staying in touch with reality, staying in touch with the people that do know me and leaning on them during those times where I might not feel so great.
Mm. I'm really hearing you've had to learn how to set boundaries with yourself and
oh, yeah.
Yeah, work, and then sticking to that for your own good.
Absolutely.
Heck yeah. Well, yeah. Honestly, I can't express enough how much I appreciate having you on, and looking forward to talking some more. But before we find some more, we'll flick to an ad break from our sponsor.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With 3 local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03 455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
And welcome back. That big ups to Anytime Fitness. Love you guys. Love the pod. Take us away, Omri.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Will. So you've made lots of sports videos where you are telling stories and have this culture and the Clocus dynasty. In your videos, you've talked about sports commentating being a passion of yours as well. And I'm wondering, yeah, what about commentating itself excites you?
Yeah, well, for those who don't know, nobody's going to know this. I was a broadcasting major in college, so that's what I studied. My first job out of college was a college sports broadcaster role, just at a low NAIA level, but still a ton of fun. And I think that as a commentator, you kind of act as almost a lightning rod, where if the lightning is like the game, you're channeling all that energy and you're pushing it out towards the audience and towards the people at home. And as much as I love being that person who gets to get people excited about the sport that we're watching, nothing annoys me more than watching a commentator that you can tell they're just ready to clock out and go home. You know, I won't mention any names on the NFL scene, but there are a few commentators on the NFL scene right now that's just like, oh man, you can tell he doesn't have the excitement he used to about the game. And for me, like, that's the whole point, is you get to talk about a game. It's fun. It is enjoyable. And you're also sharing your love with hundreds of thousands of people over the world. A big reason why I love making these Clocus videos is because I'm sharing my passion with other people. In the same way, as a commentator, you're sharing your passion of the sport with others as well. And I really enjoy that.
And I think as well, really seeing that and hearing your passion, and as you said before, of people don't know you, But I feel like I can really feel your heart in the work that you do. You know, you can feel how much of it you're putting into yourself, which, again, it feels like the Da Vinci Code right now. Of like, of course, because, you know, you're putting your family into this. That's why I imagine it's so meaningful for you. And, you know, I'm wondering how it is for you to have that work that brings so much meaning.
Oh, you know, I think even from my family's standpoint, it means so much. Like you mentioned, every single thing that I do, you know, my family is first in mind. I'm putting their names in the characters. I'm putting out content that I know my siblings can listen to. You know, I don't ever want to put out content that I feel like my little brother wouldn't be allowed to watch or listen to. So I want to make content that really everybody can enjoy. And also, we mentioned, you know, foster care. Not only do my, you know, a lot of my siblings, they were adopted, but also my family, they run a nonprofit themselves where they support foster kids. So the fact is they're at the forefront, and I really do put my heart and soul into my content because of them. And then secondly, because of the community, like I mentioned, if they're having fun, I'm having fun. Mm. Even the DMs that I've gotten of just like, hey man, like, you know, I'm going through a hard time. Your videos really like make my day, you know, hey man, I was going through a rough patch and I just look forward to your video. And I'm like, this is just this football character. Like, I did not think that I was actually having an impact on people. You know, another person's like, hey, my son and I like watch your videos and it's been a bonding thing. Yeah. And like, I want to keep doing stuff like that. You know, I don't ever want it to become about, you know, the clicks or, you know, what can I say to just get a reaction or get people mad. Like, I just want to make content that people can enjoy, that's wholesome, that everybody can watch together. And, you know, I've tried to do that to the best of my ability so far.
I'd say you're pretty good at it. And yeah, again, really encourage our listeners to go and listen, even if you're not a sports fan or, you know, in New Zealand, not a big NFL or American football fan. It is more than football. It is a true story. I think a way to describe it is how my brother loves WWE and gets really frustrated when people talk about, you know, how fake it is. And he's like, well, of course it is, but it's a storyline. It's, you know,
sure,
it's like The Real Housewives, but for a different demographic.
Of course, yeah.
That's how I really feel about the Clocus Dynasty. Is these are stories of hope. These are stories of people who are driven. And again, who doesn't want to celebrate winning something? And, you know, a lot of it is, as you said before, how do they become the best at their position and how do they win a natty or a national title for those who aren't, football fans.
Yeah, yeah. And I always try to make these characters where, you know, not only are they winning a natty, not only are they winning the Heisman, but they're still a character. They're not just a player, but they're a person. So I do try to, when I can, include some sort of character arc or character growth element. And of course, like I said, there are the comments in the same way with WWE, like people will comment like, oh, you're scripting this or you're doing this for the story. And I'm like, Yes, I am. Like, yep, that's how a story works, my mate.
Good observation.
But it's fun. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, man, because I'm wondering kind of, as you said, big family, where do you see post-foster love, post-Jonah, post-adoption story, where do you see the dynasty going?
Yeah, well, you know, you can't do the same thing forever. And I do know that there's going to come a day where this formula that I've developed, it's going to grow stale. You know, you can only rewrite the same narrative so many times. And I do have plans to branch out this specific genre of content where, like I said, it's not just about football. I think that people enjoy it for the storytelling aspect. So I do want to do, you know, MLB storyline or 2K and do other sports, also exploring like coaching storylines and what happens when these characters that we love, when now they were a player, now they're a coach, and what does that look like? And obviously I have to figure out like the logistics, because there's a lot of content that works really great in a 2-minute episodic sequence like these ones do, and there's also a lot of content that works great in a 1-hour YouTube video. So I think that there's two transitions that's going to happen over the next 2 months. That being one, my transition to focusing more on long form YouTube content, because like I said, I'm a storyteller. There's so many stories I want to tell. Not all those stories are perfect for a short form format. And then the second transition is going to be, you know, continuing these stories, but also doing other things too. because I have a lot of passions doing, you know, NFL team rebuilds, doing, like I said, I post reactions because I watch all the Packers games. I post my reactions to those games and branching out as a creator and just seeing, you know, where this is going to go. My career path has taken a million ups and downs in the last 3 years. It'll take a million more. So it's hard to say where I'm going to be a year from now. But as long as I continue to get, you know, people who enjoy the content, I'll continue posting. It's just going to have some evolution over the next few months.
Mm. And with that, recognizing lots of ups and downs, and that takes a lot of resilience. And with content creation, in the grand scheme of things, still a fairly new career or job to have. I'm wondering how you've had to adapt. Have you been able to find a mentor, or did you really have to adapt yourself to learn how to be a content creator?
Yeah. You know, I think that I'm glad you brought up mentor. The whole reason I got into this, a lot of this equipment that I have right now in my setup was actually just given to me for free by another Madden creator, where I knew him. We were kind of close, but we only knew each other online. Mm. And he decided he was going to retire. He was starting a family. He was like, I'm done making YouTube videos. I was like, hey, man, you know what you're doing with your equipment? And, you know, he was like, bet, I'll send it to you. And just, he sent it to me, and it was like $500 worth of streaming and video recording equipment. So, you know, and there's so many other stories I could tell of people who have really come alongside me, other creators who have, you know, whether it's just sliding in my DMs and being like, hey man, you're doing a great job, keep going, or people who have given me genuine advice on how to improve. Mm-hmm. So definitely I would say this community, the online sports Madden community, has been very helpful in my endeavors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's also been a lot of learning how to do this myself. Learning how to do this myself. Again, this all kind of did. I've made content for a while, but this specific growth did happen overnight in a way. And it's been very overwhelming figuring a lot of things out. Like, oh, you know, people want to work with me. Brands want to work with me. I have a specific story, if you don't mind me sharing.
Please do.
Shut, if you're not familiar, they're the company that makes helmets for the National Football League. So most of the NFL athletes you'll see, they wear Shut helmets. And in July, so midway through my Jonathan Klocka series, my first one on Instagram, they reached out to me and they were like, hey, we love your series. We want Jonathan, because the helmet was a big thing. People wanted me to change the bucket helmet. They're like, hey, if you put Jonathan in one of our Shut helmets, we'll send you a real Shut helmet to wear on your streams. It's like, oh, that's sick. And I had to kind of navigate negotiating with them, because I didn't want to just give them like free product placement, because I wanted to, you know, I was kind of broadcasting their helmets to like an audience of, you know, at that point, millions of views.
Yeah.
So I kind of was like, shoot, should I ask for money? Do I ask for money? And I didn't have a manager at the time, so it was a lot of figuring out how to do it. Eventually, I was like, you know what? I'm a football fan. I'll just settle for the helmet. They sent me the helmet, and it's so funny. They sent me this helmet, and it was really, really fun. I enjoyed putting it on. I took a picture of myself with it and posted it on my Instagram story. Just was like, thanks, Shut. And the next day, I was just browsing through Instagram, and I see Shut's Instagram story, and I'm scrolling through, and it's all these NFL athletes looking tough at training camp wearing their helmets, and they look so sick. And I'm scrolling, and then I see me in the middle of it all wearing my big ass looking head, looking like a goofball. Like, I didn't take a serious picture. I was just like, yo, like, what's up? And I was like, man, that is such a juxtaposition to see like Travis Kelce with his dark visor looking like he wants to punch somebody. And then you swipe and it's this 22-year-old, like 5'9" kid in an oversized football helmet. It was funny. But so, yeah, a lot of how to, a lot of learning on the fly. But there have definitely been some fun moments in that learning process.
That would have been so surreal, man.
And yeah, now, it was funny.
And now, Klockers, I could imagine with creating content, some of this probably gets, you know, quite draining sometimes. Could you tell us a bit about maybe some of the support networks in your life that you lean on in times where things might get a bit tough?
Yeah, you know, I would just say my friends and my family. Maybe that's a cliche answer. Yeah. I'm a yapper, so if I just need a break, and you might have known this already by how I've talked on the podcast, but I will just, if I'm stressed out, if I need a break from editing is so draining. If I just get up and I'm just like, I just need to call someone and talk for like an hour, and I'll just dial up one of my friends and they'll listen to me yap for an hour, and I'm very grateful for them. And also, like, it can be hard because, you know, things change a little bit when you get social media followers. People you didn't think were your friends all of a sudden are hitting you up and saying, like, you know, hey man, we should hang out sometime. Like, oh, you didn't really want to be my friend beforehand. This is kind of okay. So, you know, definitely, like, surrounding myself with the people that were there from day one, and knowing that, like, these people were constants in my life when I was just me. And now that I'm, you know, quote unquote Clocus, still keeping them around and still leaning on them. And they also help me, you know, help keep me accountable. You know, I think that for anybody, when you're suddenly overwhelmed with a big audience, it's really hard not to develop a little bit of an ego. And, you know, it's really important to make sure that the people that you're surrounding yourselves with, John Locke, he's a philosopher that I love. He has a really good quote that's goes, you know, men are like chameleons. They get their color and their moral hue from those they surround themselves with. And that's kind of what I've had to be as I've grown as a creator, is making sure that I am adapting and I'm surrounding myself with people that I want to be like, because I know that's how I'm going to turn out.
That's really cool. And you know, I think a lot of the people that I support, I'm not sure about you as well, Will, but a lot of it is around self-identity and who am I, who would I want to be. I'm wondering how you, again, stay grounded and recognize, again, I have this huge following. How do I stay true to who I am? How do I keep these people around me? How do I keep in the forefront of my mind what is important?
Yeah, you know, I think it's about remembering where your worth is. Because for a long time, I was constantly, and this is, you know, expanding out of the scope of me as a content creator and me as a person. For a long time, something I've been working through is figuring out, you know, where do I place my value? Because, you know, originally it was, okay, my value is in what I bring to the table in friendships. Like, what can I contribute to relationships? And then my value was, you know, who my partner, you know, who am I in a relationship with? You know, what am I bringing to the table as a partner? And, you know, I got out of a 4-year relationship and that was really hard for me. So I was like, well, you know, my value now is, you know, my audience and, you know, what I bring to them. And, you know, you'll lose yourself so quick when you're constantly putting your value in how other people view you, right? And this is something I've already touched on, but just staying grounded means recognizing that. And this is different for everybody. You know, it's hard not to talk about mental health without talking about my own beliefs. I'm a man of faith. So for me, you know, my value is, you know, as a child of God. But I think anybody, regardless of what religion you subscribe to, you need to know that your value is not in how somebody else paints you, but how you paint yourself. And again, for me as a Christian, how God views me.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, really good, man. And I I'm curious as well, being Christian and having that faith and belief, how do you feel like that guides you into or again, can guide or ground you into who the person you want to be?
Yeah, you know, it's very hard to, you know, navigate that as a creator. And that's something I'm still working on, is navigating me as a Christian and me as a content creator, because I'm not necessarily a Christian content creator. I'm a content creator that is a Christian. So, you know, where does that, if at all, fit into my content? And it has to at some point, because I do believe that for me, it's a foundation of who I am as a person. So it fits into every aspect of my life. But, you know, really, I think not to get too into my beliefs, but really, like, for me, my goal is to just be somebody that is, you know, in every aspect of what I do, whether it's me as a person or me as what I put out on the internet, just be somebody that is loving others and being a kind person. And it's so simple, and it's simple. That doesn't mean it's easy, but just putting out content that is, you know, something my mom always says is, you know, every word has power. There's no neutral words. Words are either going to build somebody up or tear somebody down. And every single piece I'm putting out there, whether it's on my personal media or my, you know, main account, is what I'm putting out here going to be building somebody up, or is it going to be tearing somebody down? And just making sure I do that internal check every time and making sure that I'm putting out something that is going to be building people up.
That's awesome, dude. And I think, you know, I said it earlier, I think your heart is in so much. You know, like I feel it in your content, and, you know, talking to you today can really feel that heart as well, and how important that is for you.
And so creating content can be rewarding, but also I can very much imagine be very mentally taxing. How do you maintain your own mental well-being while keeping a consistent online presence?
You know, I think the biggest thing is just learning that there's a balance. You know, I hate that answer because it's kind of just like answering the question with the question. Like you said, like, how do you have the balance? And I say there's a balance. It's something that, again, I have to admit, like, something I'm still figuring out. But recognizing one thing is like just keeping separate my social life and my, you know, friends' life. Like, I was gaming with my friends the other day and they're like, oh, you should stream this. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to. Like, this is, you know, my gaming time with friends. I'm not going to bring this into my content sphere. You know, if you want to be on a stream, let's schedule a time and let's do a stream together. But I'm not going to do that now. And just trying to set up boundaries like that, something we've already talked about too.
Mm. Because, you know, I'm wondering, it sounds, what you're talking about, a very preventative way of working. And I know sometimes for myself, my own well-being, we aim for preventative, but sometimes we let things slip and it's like, okay, now I need to build back up. Sometime, I'm curious for you, when you have found, you know, you might have pushed things a bit far, how do you bring yourself back?
Yeah, you know, Could you elaborate on the question a little bit?
Yeah,
if you don't
mind.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
I want to give it a good answer.
Yeah, sometimes for myself, I find, again, workplace boundaries are really important for me. And when I was younger, I worked at a place where they would contact you outside of your work hours, going, hey, can you come in? And always asking, can you come in? And I would always say yes, because I'm like, here and I'm available. And I got to a point where I can't keep up this routine of always saying yes, and setting boundaries of I need to have time for myself, time for my friends, time for my family. I can't always put everything into work. And so part of it is learning how to say no. And for me, it was learning how to say no to someone else. But I imagine for you, a lot of it is learning how to say no to yourself.
It is learning how to say no to myself and also realizing that not everything is a content opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's been a really real lesson for me that I'm still learning and saying, you know, if I'm going outside, you know, or if I'm hanging out with my friends or if I'm doing this, you know, my mind is always like, oh, how can I get content out of this? Or, oh, this is so cool. Let me make a video. Let me whip out my phone, make a TikTok. Mm. It's like, no, like sometimes you just need to just enjoy the moment. And life goes so fast that you don't always need to be whipping out the phone and making a video out of it and switching off the creator brain and just turning on the person brain and really, really enjoying those moments without always going to, let's, you know, take a video or make this into a TikTok or whatever.
It's, yeah, really cool. And you know, I think for a lot of our listeners out there who maybe content creation isn't a job but have a strong online presence, important that we do disconnect and we do really connect with the people who are around us and are the ones that are there for us. We are coming close to the end of our time, Clocus, so we're going to go to another message from our sponsor. And afterwards, I would love to start to wrap up with our final five questions.
Let's do it.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03-455-0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Thank you very much, Anytime Fitness, for continuing to support our podcast and have greenlit, I believe it was 12 more episodes. Thank you very much to keep this dream alive. Thank you again so much, Clocus, for coming on the podcast. Again, as I've said a few times, it's a bit surreal for me. Really appreciate you coming on. It's about midnight at the moment, am I right? Oh, we can't hear you on that one.
Let me unmute myself. I'm back. Perfect. That's my fault. It's about midnight for me. But these are normal content creation hours. This isn't anything stressful for me. I'm fine.
Again, really appreciate it. And before we get into our final five and start to wrap up, I'm wondering if there's any messages you'd like to share for people who might be struggling.
Yeah, you know, I would say that nothing is ever as bad as it seems. You know, something that I really have an exercise for me, and there's another exercise that I'll tell you. I've seen the top five. I'll say that. So I have an exercise I want to share later. But something for me is like, you know, if I'm in a situation and I'm really stressing out, something I think to myself is, you know, am I going to be stressed about this in 6 months? Mm. Probably not. You know, am I going to be stressed about this in 3 months? Probably not. You know, as anxious as I am right now, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and things will always get better down the road. So that's kind of just a little message. Again, like, I'll preface everything I'm about to say in the next 5 minutes with, I'm not a mental health professional. This is all me speaking from experience. Mm.
But I think that's, you know, that's part of what we do at the Hope Center. It's lived experience, and there's real power in lived experience. There's power in professionals, but also if you've lived through it, you know how you want to be treated as well.
Right.
Right.
So for the first question from our final five, what does well-being mean to you, Clocus?
Well, you know, I think that anxiety is kind of like a check engine light. It's letting you know that, you know, something's wrong. And it's there for a reason, even if we don't like it. So for me, well-being means learning how to get ahead of that check engine light and being able to diagnose those mental problems before that light turns on, and having a really good self-awareness of your mental health.
Mm. I really like that check engine light analogy.
Absolutely. It reminds me of that kind of the alarm system, that something's going on and it's about registering how much of the alarm you need to buy into. Something's there, but the degree at which, how much you listen to it.
Yeah.
And is there anything that you do that brings a sense of calm, balance, or peace?
I would say for me, again, I'm not a mental health professional, but there's an exercise and there's a rule I like to live by. And that rule is anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist. A speaker that I am really fond of, his name is Max Licato. He says, when gratitude enters your heart, anxiety goes out. So for me, when I get those panic attacks and that anxiety, it's not how do I eradicate this anxiety? It's how do I bring gratitude into my heart? Because I know that those two things can't exist together. So there's an exercise that I do to bring gratitude in. I go and I grab a piece of paper, I grab a pen, and I just sit there, I take a deep breath, and I write down all the things I'm thankful for. And some days that's a really easy list to write. Other days it's a hard list to write, but I just need to start with the bare minimum and say, okay, I have clothes on my back, I have a roof over my head, I have a car to drive, and that that list will get longer and longer and longer. And you can just feel the anxiety slowly start to creep out and the gratitude start to fill my heart. I'm a man of faith, so I thank God. But again, it doesn't matter what religion you subscribe to. You can really thank anybody. The point is that you're writing these things down. And I think there's something so powerful about putting words on a page, because for me, when I get those panic attacks, it is such a snowball effect of emotions and thoughts overwhelming my mind that I really just need to slow my brain down and focus all those words and thoughts on a page in those words expressing gratitude. So that's an exercise I do. Yeah, hopefully, you know, if you try it, it helps you out. It's helped me out a whole lot.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so well put. I love what you said about gratitude. I think gratitude truly is one of the best tools we have to, you know, bring it back to the present and ground.
Yeah.
And here's another question here. If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
Oh, I love this rule. Oh, I love this question. That's what I meant to say. Not this rule. I do love what I'm about to say, but I especially love the question. I think that you're not allowed to comment anything on social media that you wouldn't say to that person's face.
Oh, 100%.
There are so many times that, you know, I think that if you, it's so easy to just type something and I'm guilty, you know, you type something in the comments, you walk away, you don't ever think about it again. It sticks with that person, you know, it sticks with me. And again, there are no neutral words. Like I said, everything's going to have a positive or negative impact. And if you're not willing to sit there and stand by what you said and say it to that person's face, then I don't think you should type it out at all. Mm. That would be my rule.
It's a really good rule. I am curious to hear your thoughts on another rule that one of our other peer supporters, Cleo, came up with when she was on the podcast. Because in the Southern Hemisphere, we drive on the left side of the road. So her rule was that... even on the footpath, people walk on the left side just to keep traffic flowing.
Consistency.
Yeah. I'm wondering how you feel for that one.
See, that would confuse me greatly. I would probably get hit very quickly by a car, and it would be my fault, because obviously we drive on the right side here. But I can see where she's coming from in making that rule.
Yeah. No, it's been the other rule. And again, I'm not sure if our New Zealand listeners will know this. Again, having spent lots of time in the States myself and Will.
Yeah, just freshly back.
Yeah, back from summer camp in New York. But the right on red.
Oh, yeah. I love the right on red. Mm. I love it. Now, Florida drivers, we are a little bit more chaotic. So I will say that, you know, right on red, left on red, we kind of just go. In Florida, that's how it feels, anywho. But yeah, it's pretty chaotic.
Yeah. For our listeners who don't know, even if there is a red light, you can still turn right, and the right-hand turn would be our left-hand turn. So yeah, if nothing is coming, you've got a red light, you can still make that turn, which my brain gets scared every single time. But to continue with our final five, what would you tell your younger self now?
That's tough. I think this has to go back to what we talked about earlier, and it's something that I still have to tell myself now. So I would just get a head start on that and tell my younger self, you are not what you bring to the table. You know, your worth is not found in what you can provide to somebody, whether that be humor, whether that be entertainment, whether that be money, whether that be validation or anything like that. Your value is in being you, being the best version of yourself you can be, being a child of God, being a brother, being a friend. It's not about, you know, necessarily what you're giving to somebody, but who you are as a person.
Mm. It's, yeah, really good and really kind of, again, centering, and sounds like it would have been quite healing as well.
Yeah.
And our final question, what is a question you'd like to leave for our next guest?
Ooh, okay. I would say a question I would leave for the next person is a question I love. And it's, again, it's a cliche question. I've said a lot of cliches today, so I got to end it with a cliche. Is what is one historical figure that you would want to get coffee with?
Ooh,
and why?
Yep. Do you have an answer?
I love that question. Do I have an answer? Oh, you're putting me on the spot now. You can tell me. I would say I would love to get coffee. I would probably choose. This is not a mature answer that has thought behind it. This is me having fun.
Yeah.
I would love to get coffee with Alexander Hamilton because I'm a big fan of the musical, the Broadway musical Hamilton. And I just want to know, like, I picture Hamilton as Lin-Manuel Miranda's character in that musical. And I want to just pick his brain, be like, oh, man, how much of this was true? You know, like, I want to see who he is as a historical figure, not the character that I know and love as the musical version.
That's so, I'm getting out my wallet, but it's not there. I used to keep a $10 bill in my wallet.
Oh, that's
the
so
entire
cool.
time. Because, yeah, I love the $10 founding father without a father. Do you have an answer, Will?
Oh, on the spot, but, oh, you know what? I think who would be quite interesting to have a yarn to would be Sigmund Freud. I think it would be a wild coffee and hopefully just a coffee, but I think, you know, it would be very, very interesting to pick his brain and his thoughts on psychology and his thoughts on where psychology's gone now in the modern day. Yourself, Omri?
I would go for Michael Joseph Savage, who was a Prime Minister of New Zealand, really helped found, again, welfare and how do we help those who are poorer? How do we help those who are struggling and really lift them up? And yeah, he was Prime Minister at the start of one of the World Wars. Can't remember which one. I want to say number two. Yeah, but I'd love to grab a coffee with him and go, how were you so ahead of your time, or how did you bring this into, at the time, in a fairly new country? So I'd have Michael Joseph Savage.
Both great answers. I like those.
Thank you. And again, thank you, a final thank you to you, Clocus, for coming on. It's been a genuine pleasure. Thank you, Will, for coming on the pod.
Thank you for having me. You know, it's been great. My first time ever doing a podcast, and it's been an absolute treasure.
Let's not make it your last.
You felt like you've looked like a seasoned vet. That's all.
It's all you, mate. It's all you.
The Aaron Donald of podcast hosting. Thank you to ORFM for helping us in the studio. Thank you to Life Matters and to Anytime Fitness for sponsoring the podcast. If you have any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to admin@lifematters.org.nz. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Kia ora.
Thanks for listening to our Hope Centre podcast. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact us at Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page. You can also contact us through our website. Just look up lifematters.org.nz. You can also drop in to see us at 63 Hanover Street. We're open every day except Mondays. From Wednesday to Sunday, we're open until 9 p.m. If you need support out of those hours, free call or text 1737. If you'd like to listen again or hear other episodes in this podcast, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.